Coming up on Chasing the Natty, week 4 of the college fantasy football season is underway, and I'm here to help you get prepared for the weekend. I'll be giving you guys a couple of players at each of the main positions that I'm starting, a couple of whom I'll be sitting, and then we'll finish up with some of your fan-submitted start-sit questions. I've got all of that and more coming right after this. This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your work on this Wednesday morning. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus to Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday and Wednesday morning during the season at 6 a.m. sharp. If you want to support the great work we're doing here, head on over to campuscanton.com, subscribe there with any of our tiers. You'll find everything you need for your CFF, Devy, C2C, and betting needs, whether that's articles, rankings, projections, tools. We got even more than that. You can find me in the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty. Feel free to DM either of those accounts with any questions that you might have. Once again, I appreciate all of you guys tuning in. If you have not already, show us some love by leaving a like, comment, and subscribe, all those YouTube things we always ask for. And then on the podcast side of things, make sure you leave a 5-star review and make sure you're following the show. Not only does that show us support, but you're also showing the game of college fantasy football in general some support that helps us with all of the different algorithms and get us in front of the eyes of people who might be interested in this stuff either this season or get them started early for next season. So y'all, here we go, week 4. I don't know about you guys, but again, I've been doing this 4 years now, and it feels like the seasons get faster and faster every single year. I cannot believe that technically we are almost we're a little under a fourth of the way through the season already. I guess with the 14 weeks, I was about to say we're already a quarter of the way through the season, but with 14 weeks, that math doesn't really math very well. Regardless, though, again, I can't believe we're through 3 weeks of the season already. It feels like it's just been a track meet from the moment that things started this year. And I guess that it comes with, you know, making content and stuff like that. But I don't know. It feels like I can hardly keep up sometimes. But lucky for you guys, I can keep up. And that is why I'm here to help you guys with getting you guys ready for this next week. As always, with our preview and start sit shows, we got a basic breakdown of three different segments here. I'll be breaking down some starts that I will be doing. Those will be players that are outside the top 60 of their respective positions to this point in the season between quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Got some sits, some guys that are inside the top 40 right now that deserve to be on your bench this week. And then, of course, you guys kill it every single week with your fan-submitted start-sit questions. I got a great set of 5 here today to break down for you guys. So, with all that being said, I say we get right on into it. Let us not waste any more time. Like I said, week 4, the season is upon us, y'all. I don't know about you guys. Again, week 4, to me, like, it's one of those things where I need some numbers to back this up. But is it me, or are there less higher-scoring matchups this year compared to previous years? I'm not even talking about really about like the actual result of games, although I would certainly say that we haven't seen like a ton of shootouts per se. Maybe the one that really comes to mind is South Alabama, North Texas from like week 1. But in terms of finding high over unders every single week, I don't know about you guys, but like it felt like in years past, you would be good for like maybe 3, 4, 5, you know, 70 plus totals every single week. Now it feels like I don't think we have seen a 70 plus total this year, even among some of the blowouts, let alone consistent. Shoot, it's hard to find consistent 65 point over under. So something that I usually rely on to a pretty good degree for college fantasy every year is slowly slipping away here. So I don't know about, I'm kind of going on a rant here, but that's just something that I've kind of been noticing recently. And I wonder if that'll change a little bit more as we get more into conference play here. But I will say this weekend, especially, it feels like the potential shootouts are pretty few and far between. And don't worry, I have those here ready for you. I got some names for you guys to take advantage of in some of those, in the few matchups that we do have with that. Speaking of which, I think we'll go ahead and get into my starts for this week. As I kind of mentioned at the top of the show, these are players that are outside of the top 60 to this point in the season. As of currently, because some players are already on bye week so early in the season because of, you know, there being some massive single game performances so far, I am focusing on points per game as of right now. As we get later into the season, as more teams kind of get some bye weeks under them, I will be moving back to total points. But with that being said, let's start with some quarterbacks here. Real quick, if you have listened to the latest episode of the Waiver Watch draft by the at CFF List, you'll know that I was on this week. It's always a pleasure being on with Jeremy Miller and Willie B over there. And if you watch that show, you'll probably recognize quite a few of the names that I took in that respective draft. Because again, the format of that show is, not only are we picking up guys off the waiver wire, guys that are rostered on less than 30% going into this week, but we also plan for them to score a lot of points. And so if you look at the first guy I have here, it is Caden Veltkamp, quarterback out of West Kentucky. You guys know exactly why I am super high on him. I can recount you the awesome performance he had in the bowl game against Old Dominion last year, where he scored 6+ touchdowns, threw like 50 something times. But he's back, and in the one game that he has started, he scored over 40 fantasy points in 4+ and 4-point passing touchdown leagues. Now, granted, as I kind of mentioned in the waiver wire episode earlier this week, there's some efficiency numbers here that are definitely going to have to come down. Like, he's not throwing 90% completion percentage again this week. I personally doubt that he hits 13.3 yards per attempt again this week. But if there's a matchup where he's going to do it, this matchup with Toledo is pretty enticing here. The spread on this game, 62.5. The spread, Toledo favored by just 2.5 points. So again, Vegas is looking at this game. They're expecting both teams to hit around 30 points here. I would not be shocked if this game hits even higher. It's at night. It's at Western Kentucky. Veltkamp has already had this job taken away from him once. He should have been able to keep this job after that incredible performance against Old Dominion. And the staff, quite frankly, for lack of better terms, just straight up screwed him over. I don't think that Veltkamp is going to let that happen again. He's got himself a nice CUSA schedule here. He's got a nice little cushy Maction matchup right here. I think that Veltkamp's going to be in for another great one here. We didn't see it last week when he only ran 3 times for 0 yards and a touchdown, but Veltkamp can use his legs. And so even if we see some of the scoring come down this game, like I don't think we can fully expect Veltkamp to score 6 touchdowns again in this game. I do think that he'll make up for some of that with a little bit more rushing than we had seen in previous iterations of him, or in the previous iteration we saw him starting this year. So I'm a big Veltkamp fan this week. I fought so hard to get him in so many different places, and humble brag, but I'm doing too well to have gotten him off of the waiver wire in certain leagues. And the one league I'm not doing so well has a rolling waiver priority. So even though I'm second to last, I didn't get a very good shot at getting Veltkamp. So regardless, I'm a big fan of Veltkamp. I'm ready to start him this week. The other quarterback that I am starting this week is Mr. Arch Manning, quarterback out of Texas, going up against UM Monroe this week. We've seen snippets of Arch Manning so far this year, and boy, oh boy, again, they're exciting numbers, but man, the hype train just continues to go off with him. Quinn Ewers goes down with an injury last week against UTSA. Arch Manning comes in And what an incredible performance here. 12 attempts, 9 completions, 223 yards, 4 touchdowns. Also ran the ball 3 times, including a 50-yard touchdown on the ground. I would say this is a complete one-off. Like, there's no way he's going to be that efficient again. Well, against Colorado State, he got some limited action where he threw the ball 6 times for 95 yards and a touchdown. Also ran the ball in, or ran it for another touchdown in that game as well. I don't know if Texas is really going to use Arch Manning in a completely different way than they were with Ewers. Again, Manning does, I would say, have a bit more rushing potential than Ewers had, but regardless, like, Steve Sarkisian expects certain things out of his quarterback, and I don't think running the ball is truly in that forte. And so I've been very critical of Ewers' ceiling for fantasy options in the past, and that is what makes me a little hesitant with Arch, but I can't ignore the fact that, man, Arch has looked so dang good in these games. And I would say, like, well, the 2 games we've seen him in this year have been against Colorado State and UTSA. Those are 2 very weak matchups that Texas clearly destroyed their competition in. Well, guess what? They get UL Monroe this week, so they're going to be back out there again. And here's the thing. I don't think that Manning comes off the field. I think we see Manning probably play for almost all 60 minutes here. Either that, or he just completely kills it on the day, and they have to take him out because of mercy rule. Because Manning is Texas's quarterback of the future. It's pretty dang clear here. Ewers is going to be gone after this year, one way, shape, or form. And this is an opportunity. If Ewers really is only out for this week, which is what the current rumor is, they're going to want to get Manning as many reps as possible should Ewers go down again. It's a perfect tune-up matchup for Manning going forward. I think they let him rip it this weekend against UL Monroe. The only thing that might hold them back is the fact that they may not want a quarterback controversy going forward. So maybe they hand the ball off quite a bit in this game. That would be the only downside I see here. My running backs. Actually, I'll say one more quarterback real quick. Mostly because people, again, have been freaking out about him. I'm starting, I will say it again, start Kadon Salter again this week. The touchdown luck has been horrendous for him so far, but the volume that he had last year is still there as well. The opportunities are still there. Just having some bad luck so far. I think he has a bounce back week against East Carolina this week. Running backs. Nate Noel, running back out of Missouri. He's going up against Vanderbilt this week. I was ready to not put him on here, but one, he is technically outside the top 60 for running back so far, as he is being very consistent actually week to week with 14.8 fantasy points and half PPR formats versus Murray State, 15 versus Buffalo, and then 15.5 versus Boston College last week. I am shocked to see that he is still only rostered on 34% of rosters. I could have sworn I saw him get picked up quite a bit to start the season. I guess people kind of got put off after seeing him only, you know, rush for, you know, 60 or 70-ish yards in each of the first 2 games, only getting 11, 12 carries against Murray State and Buffalo. Here's the deal, though. Last week was our first chance to really see what Missouri's backfield usage was going to be in a competitive game, right? Because again, Missouri, they blew out Murray State, they blew out Buffalo. Boston College gave Missouri quite a bit of run last week. Again, Missouri kind of got out to a comfortable lead, kind of sat on the ball a little bit. Boston College kind of made a comeback attempt there. But in this game, we saw Nate Noel carry the ball 22 times or 121 yards. He also got a reception for 9 yards as well. We're not quite at Cody Schrader levels yet, but it's pretty clear that we are looking at, we're pretty clearly looking at what Missouri thinks is going to be their next guy up. I should have written this down, but let me look up what kind of rushing production we got out of, let's see what kind of rushing production we got out of Mr. Marquez Carroll, our obvious backup here. Yes, Marquez Carroll still getting involved, but 12 carries, 10 less than Nate Noel. Carroll got a catch as well, but even still, it's pretty clear we got this one wrong for those of us that were taking shots on Marquez Carroll in the offseason. I personally didn't think that Nate Noel was going to be able to have the size necessary to have this kind of workhorse role, but guess what, y'all? We're in season now. We actually have on-field results, and guess what? We got to pivot. It would be irresponsible not to look at Nate Dowell, especially available in this many leagues. Pick him up. They've got Vanderbilt this weekend. That is a prime matchup for you to grab Noel off the waiver wire and start him this week. The other running back I will throw out here is Mr. Micah Bernard, the running back out of Utah, going up against Oklahoma State this week. He's still available in so many leagues. In 23% of leagues, he is, I know in a lot of my leagues, he's already taken up, but regardless of anything else, if you have him, he is absolutely worth starting this week. They've got a matchup against Oklahoma State here, and we have seen, in the absence of Cam Rising, Bernard get himself a nice workload. It's not quite the elite workload that I would love to see. Again, he got 21 touches versus Baylor, 19 versus Utah State. I would love to see that get more consistently above 20 as things kind of roll on here. But as I mentioned, both on the Waiver Wire pod and on the Waiver Watch draft pod with at CFF Lists, I can point to the absence of Cam Rising impacting this, but I will also point out the fact that I think there's a good possibility that this was planned from the very beginning. And Bernard went into the portal during the offseason. The staff fought tooth and nail to get him back. Yes, he only got 5 carries versus Southern Utah, but guess what? That's an FCS opponent. They were beating him by 49. Why risk who is apparently going to be your workhorse back here? And so, like I said, he's got 100 plus yards in the last 2 games, a touchdown in each of them. They've got Oklahoma State this week. The over under in that game, 54.5, Utah favored by 2. That is, in my opinion, prime Bernard range for a really, really solid game. Vegas is not expecting a track meet here. We're not looking at, you know, Utah having to throw the ball constantly in order to keep up with things. I think that a game that finishes with both teams around, like, you know, that 24 to 30 range of points is perfect for Bernard. And the other thing I would like to point out is the fact that Oklahoma State has faced one Power 4 back already this season. And that was Shaquindon Jackson against Arkansas. Now, granted, again, we're talking about one game sample size here, so let's not take away too much here. But Jaquindon Jackson did, in that game, run 24 times for 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now, I don't fully expect Bernard to maybe hit that high of a performance here, but I think Bernard's pretty set up well with the game script of this game, with the style of play that this is probably going to end up being. Bernard should have a really nice day. My two wide receivers are two guys that are bouncing back this week. One is Mr. Devin McEwen, wide receiver out of UTSA, going up against Houston Baptist. This is one of my boys, and he had himself a really nice start to the season against Kennesaw State. 13 targets, 11 catches, 79 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The problem is things have not gone well for Mr. McEwen ever since then. After UTSA got absolutely body bagged by both Texas State and Texas. I'm not sure what happened against Texas State. Maybe Texas State's defense is better than I thought, but McEwen had himself a very bad game there. 9 targets, 6 catches, 29 yards, so 4.8 yards per reception for McEwen. Just not a good day at all. Texas, kind of expected. I think with a much better matchup this week, with the volume that McEwen has been getting recently, I think we see a much closer performance to what we got in week 1. I'm fully expecting 10 plus targets in this game. I would love to see him find the end zone or two. I think McEwen is in for, like I said, a bounce back game. The other wide receiver that I will throw out here is Mr. DT Sheffield, wide receiver out of North Texas. Yes, this is me telling you, do not freak out about that completely bizarre result we got from North Texas last week. I really thought they would do better against Texas Tech, but man, they got absolutely bodied. And DT Sheffield, after getting 10 plus targets in each of his first 2 games, suddenly getting 0 targets. I don't know if Texas Tech was just completely bracketing him, throwing 3 guys on him. I have no clue really what happened here. I think that we're looking at a bounce back week here. North Texas plays Wyoming. They don't have to travel to Wyoming, which is a huge plus for this game. The over-under on this game, 55.5. North Texas favored by 9.5. I think that after getting completely blown out last week, North Texas's team's going to want to get back on schedule here. And the other thing to keep an eye on is the fact that Damon Ward was taken out of last week's game early. He is on the depth chart for North Texas this week, which does seem to indicate that Ward should be back this week, considering the fact that North Texas took off Ekaika Ragsdale and I can't remember the freshman, Harris. They took those running backs off the depth chart to indicate that they will not be playing in that game. So the depth chart says that Ward should be playing regardless. If Ward is even remotely banged up or anything like that, I fully expect a really big day for Sheffield to get that offense underway once again. So to recap, my six starts for this week are Caden Veldkamp, Arch Manning, Nate Noel, Micah Bernard, Devin McEwen, and DT Sheffield. If history says anything over the last couple of weeks, we should be seeing at least four of those guys having some monster weeks. I've actually been really, really solid on these starts the last couple of weeks. So let's move over into these sits now. These are, again, players that are inside the top 40 of their positions to this point in the season. So for quarterbacks, I am sitting Thomas Castellanos, quarterback out of Boston College. He's got Michigan State this week. You'll see a theme with a lot of these guys here in my sit starts, pretty much week to week. It's part of my process, but man, I really try to avoid low over-under games, and especially against two defenses that I think are pretty solid here. Like I mentioned, Castellanos is going up against Michigan State this week. The over-under in this game, 45.5. Boston College favored by 6.5. We're looking at a game where, you know, both teams are expected to score in like the 17 to 21 range. I have no doubt that Castellanos is solidly looking for some, or has a solid chance at scoring all three of those because of his dual threat nature. And that leads you with a pretty solid day at the end of the day. But even still, I think that just because of the, again, the low over under here, I think that, you know, with Castellanos still being decently limited as a passer, last week against Missouri is probably his best day. But that's also because, like I said, Boston College made a solid attempt at coming back in that game. We haven't seen as much rushing from Castellanos in recent weeks. Again, he has 73 yards against Florida State. Maybe that happens again against Michigan State, but the fact that he had 8 yards against Duquesne makes sense. His FCS opponent, you're not going to run the ball a ton. But then he had only 16 yards rushing versus Missouri. I think that some teams are starting to figure it out. Michigan State's got a pretty solid rushing defense. I think that Castellanos might have his weakest day to this point. The other quarterback that I'm sitting here is Kyren Drones. This is a guy that people were kind of a little worried about after the first 2 weeks. Again, against Vanderbilt, only 22.78 points. We saw him really not struggle per se, but just not have a great day against Marshall. They only put up 31 points in that game, and Drones only had 2 touchdowns in the day, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground. He only had 130 yards passing. Finally, last week, we saw the Drones we really thought we were going to see. You know, 176 yards of the year, a touchdown, but also, man, oh man, finally got that rushing game going. 12 attempts, 117 yards, and a touchdown there. That looked like the Drones we all know and love. Problem is, I'm not trusting it against this Rutgers team here. Granted, he is playing at home. That'll help him out. Virginia Tech favored by 3.5 here. But total similar to the Boston College Michigan State game, we are looking at a over-under of 44.5. Both of these teams have running backs that they're going to want to rely on. You have Tootin, Manungai. Rutgers especially has a very solid defense. I think that is going to keep Virginia Tech off the scoreboard quite a bit. I just would look elsewhere for the likes, or if you're planning on starting Drones and Castellanos this weekend. Moving on to running, a couple of other honorable mentions that running back or quarterback that I would say sit. These ones, or for, one of them is kind of more obvious, J.C. French versus Ole Miss. We saw Ole Miss and what they did to Wake Forest last week. I do not believe that Georgia Southern will have much better of a chance at putting up points, so Don't worry about J.C. French, even though he's been great the last couple of weeks. And then Brendan Sorsby versus Houston. There's not a lot of things I like about Houston for fantasy purposes, and one of the things seems to be that their defense is actually pretty solid. They held Oklahoma down to 16 points. They completely killed Rice's offense last week. I'm a little worried that, again, as much as I like Sorsby, I'm a little worried that Cincinnati's, or him, or he was a bit of fantasy fool's gold just a little bit to start the season. He's kind of been on a downward trend the last couple of weeks with a tough matchup against Houston that also has a pretty decently low over-under. I'm avoiding that. Let's move on to running backs. Number one here, Anthony Tyus, running back out of Ohio, going up against Kentucky. I typically, moving forward, I'm going to try to avoid some of these, like, you know, G5 versus P4. I've had a couple of you feedback saying, like, oh, it's obvious if, you know, a G5 guy is going up against a running back, you can just deem him as honorable mentions or whatever. Completely fair critique. I will say I'm keeping Anthony Tyus as one of my major plays here. So, mostly just to point out just how bad this could end up turning out if you do play Tyus here. One, I don't think you ever should really trust a MAC team versus an SEC team. I don't care what happened with Toledo and Mississippi State last week. Here's the other thing. I've talked about some low over-unders, and this game is no exception. It's actually one of the lowest on the week at 41.5. Problem is, Kentucky's favored by 20, and so when you do the math, that basically leaves Ohio about 10 points that they are expected to score in this game. Now, I think it's a pretty solid chance that if Ohio does score one touchdown in this game, that Tyus will be that guy. The problem is, are you really going to go into a college fantasy week with a guy that whose team is expected to maybe put up one touchdown? Heck, that 10 points come really out of three field goals, and then you call it a day, right? I think that things get very, very bad here. Obviously, we've seen Tyus perform well already against Syracuse as a Power 4 team, but Kentucky's defense is much better than Syracuse's, so I'm telling you right now, any Ohio player should be sat against Kentucky this week. I would not chance this whatsoever. The next one I'm sitting here is a bit more out there. He's been phenomenal. He's been great. He was great to start the season against Weber State. Again, 127 yards, three touchdowns in that game. He's been solid on production since then against Eastern Michigan, 104 yards against Washington State, 75 yards in that game. So didn't find the end zone in either of those games. That really kind of hurt him a little bit. His receiving profile is actually pretty solid as well. 29 yards versus Eastern Michigan, 17 versus Washington State, and then 19 versus Weber State. So all around, Colbin's got himself a really nice production floor. So why am I sitting him? I'm going to be a broken record here. Again, these low over-under games are really kind of scaring me off with some of these guys this week. Now, granted, this is a place where Washington might want to run the ball quite a bit. My problem is I think that Washington might have a decent shot at struggling to run the ball against Northwestern. Again, that shows up at the team total here at 42.5. Washington's favored by 10, so doing the math at home, roughly about 24-ish, 27-ish points, somewhere in that range, expected to be scored by Washington here. I think that the thing, again, as I mentioned, the thing that's really making me nervous is Northwestern does not have a lot of things going for it, but currently their rushing defense is the highlight of their team. They're currently 12th in the nation current as we speak. They allowed only 1.7 yards per rush against Miami of Ohio. They allowed only 3.1 yards per rush versus Duke, and they only allowed 2.0 yards per rush against Eastern Illinois. Now, you're probably sitting there listening to me read off those teams and being like, Jared, that's a weak schedule. That's like straight cupcakes right there. To which I would say, yeah, fair. I agree. You're probably not really looking at the 12th rushing defense in the nation when you look at that schedule. However, if you're going to apply that to Northwestern's rushing defense, you got to do the exact same thing to Coleman's schedule so far. Wazoo was 65th versus the rush, which is kind of the measuring stick here in terms of what Washington's been able to do, because otherwise they face Eastern Michigan and Weber State, which I'm sorry, like, I'm not impressed with Coleman ripping off 7.9 and 9.5 yards per rush in those games. I am curious about him rushing 5.4 yards per carry against Wazoo. But let's compare this to other teams that have rushed against Washington State. Texas Tech was able to rush for 5.5 yards on them. Portland State was able to rush 4.5 yards per rush against the Cougars. Washington, among Wazoo's current opponents, or first three opponents here, actually did the poorest as a team compared to the rest of the schedule so far. They only averaged 4.1 yards per rush against Wazoo. So I'm thinking that, yeah, we're probably not going to... Northwestern's probably going to give up their highest rush per yards so far, but I do think that Coleman could be in for a decently disappointing day if that Northwestern defense turns out to be as good as they're currently showing. So those are my two sits at running back. Let's move on to wide receivers. Number one here, Kevin Concepcion, wide receiver at NC State. They're going up against Clemson. This has less to do with Concepcion because Concepcion actually did extremely well against Clemson last year, and it has more to do with CJ Bailey. Listen, I like CJ Bailey. He has a chance to become an absolute NC State legend this weekend if he beats Clemson on the road in his first start. Problem is, I don't think you could plan a worst first start in ACC play. And we saw a little bit last week that this change of quarterback has impacted Concepcion a little bit. His Concepcion's ADOT was much lower than previously last week. Again, he had a very rough finish last week. As I mentioned before, he did pretty well against Clemson last year, but that was because Concepcion was a true freshman. There was not a lot of tape out there on Concepcion, and there was probably some underestimation of Concepcion to that point in the season. It's about mid-season when these two faced last year. And so I think Clemson, being as tough of a defense as they are, they're going to be a lot more prepared for Concepcion this year. I think Bailey, like I said, with that being his first start, there's a decent shot that NC State just gets blown out of the water here. The offense itself just hasn't looked extremely productive the last couple of weeks. I think that, again, Concepcion does not need to be in your starting lineups this week. My other wide receiver that I'm sitting here is Pat Bryant, the wide receiver out of Illinois, going up against Nebraska. The main thing, again, broken record, but it's a process and it works. Low over under here, 42.5. Nebraska favored by 8. So again, you're looking at Illinois expected to be scoring around, 14 to 17 points in this game. Not a lot of touchdown opportunities here. And here's the thing with Pat Bryant. He's actually been relatively touchdown dependent the last couple of weeks. He has seen, 2 touchdowns versus Eastern Illinois. He's seen 2 touchdowns against Central Michigan, 2 games in which Illinois was blowing out their opponent. The one game where it was a little competitive and they were facing a bit tougher of a defense was Kansas, and he came away with that game with 3 catches for 70 yards, no touchdowns in that game. The other thing is that people will want to start Pat Bryant as if he is like the number one option on this team, and he's not actually. Now, granted, he's been the most consistent. His reception percentage is actually great at 88.2%. Problem is, Zachary Franklin's actually got more targets than him on a game-to-game basis here. Now, again, Pat Bryant, a bit more of a deep threat. Makes sense why he's getting some more touchdowns, but Pat Bryant's got 4 touchdowns compared to Zachary Franklin's 0. That is going to balance out quite a bit here. In addition, I mentioned this before with Colorado. Like, Nebraska's defense is legit. They held Shador Sanders to only 240 passing yards. Illinois will be playing at Nebraska. Nebraska's fan base, I don't know if you guys watched that Colorado game, they're pretty dang fired up this year. They got a ranked v ranked matchup coming in this Friday. I really think that Nebraska's defense is going to show up, and Pat Bryant's going to have himself a pretty rough day on the day. So those are my sits. Thomas Castellano out of Boston College, Kyron Drones out of Virginia Tech, Anthony Tyus out of Ohio, Jonah Coleman out of Washington, Kevin Concepcion out of NC State, and then Pat Bryant out of Illinois. Now, let us spend some time and move on to our fan-submitted start and sit questions. Appreciate all of you guys out there for putting these in every single week. If you want to get your start and sit questions answered on the show, there are a couple of things that you really need to do. One, you need to go to Twitter. You need to follow at Chasing the Natty. That is the account on which I post every week for you guys to submit a Start Sick question. It'll definitely help if you turn on notifications for that account as well. One, just so you know when a new Chasing the Natty or Defending the Natty episode is out at any given point. But also, too, you'll be right there ready to go to submit your Start Sick questions on that thread every single week. The other things you need to do that help you out a ton is, one, keep your Start Sick questions to 3 or less people. I want to help you guys, but I do not need your entire starting rosters thrown at me. I don't need 8 running backs and told to choose one. That's not how this works. You guys got to lift some of the load and get it down to at least 3 different guys, and I will help you the rest of the way. The other things you can do to help: one, any kind of scoring in your league that might impact how I might be looking at your Start Sick questions. So, you know, PPR versus non-PPR, 4-point passing versus 6-point passing. If you are one of those leagues where you give bonuses for a certain yardage, like, please put those things in your question. That helps out a ton. And last but not least, make sure when you list out the 3 options that you're looking at, make sure you list whoever their opponent is this week, that particular week. Yes, I could go and look it up myself, but, you know, I only have so much time to put these shows together, and so anytime you guys help me out and just put down that information for me, it makes me more inclined to put your question on the show. Let me just say that. So, with all that being said, let's move on to the actual questions here. The first one here comes to us from MDB at 2008 WS Champs. I forget who actually won the World Series that year, so I'm not going to say congratulations to whatever baseball club that is. But MDB is asking us a quarterback question. He's got 3 guys here. He's got Barrett Morton, quarterback out of Texas Tech, going up against Arizona State this week. We have Caden Veldkamp, quarterback out of West Kentucky, going up against Toledo. Or we have Arch Manning, quarterback out of Texas, going up against UL Monroe. I swear I screw that up every single week. This one's hard. All 3 of these guys are great options for this week, MDB. Let me tell you that right now. We already touched on Veldkamp, the fact that Toledo West Kentucky's high over under games, expect to be close. He's got the skill set to do intense damage there. Barron Morton's got himself a really nice game this weekend. He's playing at home, over under in the game against Arizona State there, 60.5. Texas Tech only favored by 3. And then we've already talked extensively about Arch Manning and the fact that I expect him to play as many snaps as possible against UL Monroe. This one's tough. I really think it's hard to go wrong here. I will say that I am going to take Morton out. I'm going to sit him of these 3, mostly because as much as I trust that system, as much as I know that there's a high ceiling for Morton, we also know that at the randomest times, he can just absolutely bottom out. And, you know, he's been injured in the past before, so we'll go with that. That leaves Arch and Veldkamp, and you're making this real hard to me because those are my 2, like, designated starts for this week. I think I was going to go with Manning, but I think I'm still going to go with Veldkamp. Mostly because, again, because this is expected to be a close game between these 2, I think that Veldkamp is more likely to play some hero ball. Although, it's so close because, like, Veldkamp can be at a competitive game where both teams end up with around 30 points, and that's still going to be a very good day for Veldkamp there. Arch could just completely obliterate. UL Monroe this weekend, and you're looking at him having 6 touchdowns before they finally pull him out of there. I'm changing my mind back again. We're going with Arch. We're going to sit Veldkamp. I don't envy you having to make this decision, MDB. I really think you have 3 great options here, and I personally would probably be going back and forth with these all the way until the end of this week. So good luck with that, MDB. I'm leaning, like, extremely limitedly leaning towards Archer, but I feel great about all three these options. I just don't think I don't feel great about me choosing the highest option of these three, because I think all three of them have extremely high upsides this week. So good question. Let's move my tokens back and let's move on to our second question here. That comes from Save at Save, whole bunch of numbers. I'm not going to read out all of those numbers. If you really want to know who this is, I have it written out on the show on the YouTube side of things, so go check that out. He's got a running back question for us here between Corey Kiner going up against Houston this week, Abu Sama going up against Arkansas State, or Bashaw Tutin, running back out of Virginia Tech, going up against Rutgers. Here's the deal. We have two certified volume bigs in Kiner and Tutin. Kiner's gotten 20 plus carries, 125 plus yards in each of the last two games, one against Pitt, one against Miami of Ohio. They get Houston this week. It's expected to be a relatively lower scoring matchup. I believe the over-under in that game is less than 50. Part of the reason why I was hesitant to start Brennan Sorsby, but very similar to Micah Bernard, I think Kiner is well set up for a ground and pound game between those two. And so I think he is one of the starts here. That leaves Sama and Tutin. I don't love the matchup for Tutin with Rutgers. Again, very similar deal with its lower scoring. Both these teams are going to run quite a bit. Tutin's been kind of dealing with some quote-unquote injuries recently, but haven't really seen that the last couple of weeks, considering the fact that, you know, he had 22 carries versus Marshall, over 120 yards and a touchdown in that game. Against Old Dominion, two touchdowns on the day, 21 carries, 115 yards. They say he's injured, but man, it doesn't feel like it based on his usage. I have no doubt that he'll probably get that workload again against Rutgers. We're probably going to see a bit lower of a yards per rush there, so I think it'll be tough for him to finish with over 100 yards this week, given the opponent. But here's the thing. Sama's kind of the wild card here, right? We have not seen the Sama that we want to see yet. He had 5 carries versus North Dakota. He has 17 carries versus Iowa, 58 yards, 3.4 yards per rush in that game. Can hardly hold that against him. And then he had a bye last week. It feels like there's so much unanswered with Sama. We did see, though, that in that game against North Dakota, where Iowa State really feels like if they have a game in hand, they're more than willing to sit him because they're going to rely on him down the stretch potentially, which is what we kind of saw against Iowa 2 weeks ago. I think I'm definitely starting Kiner of these three. Tutin, even though I'm a little worried about the injury and I don't love the matchup, I think with what I know about Sama, there's a much lower floor there for him in multiple ways. Against Arkansas State, he could absolutely pop off. He could have one of those games like he did against Kansas State last year where it's like every time he touches the ball, he rips it off for 50 yards. We haven't seen it yet this year, though. So I'm going to roll Kiner. I'm going to roll Tutin. Just feels like the safer options out of these two versus Sama. Very much a wild card roll there. So let me throw my two tokens up here. Let me put these up. There we go. Start Tutin. Start Kiner. Sit Sama. Next question up here. Let's go to Mr. James Webb at Sir James Webb on Twitter. Mr. Webb, I hope your telescope brings us some nice, really pretty pictures here pretty soon. Yes, that was a dad joke. Yes, I am ashamed of myself. Let's talk about your question, though, James. Let's look at your wide receiver question in particular. This is the one that really caught my eye here. You are asking to start one between Jaden Higgins, wide receiver out of Iowa State, going up against Arkansas State this week, Dejon Stribling, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma State, going up against Utah, or we can go Kanata Mumfield, wide receiver out of Pittsburgh, going up against Youngstown State University, so an FCS opponent for them. If we take a look at these receivers, all three have had some kind of up and down performances. Higgins really, I would say, is probably the most consistent of the bunch, as he's had 16 and 16.8 fantasy points per game in half PPR formats here. Very consistent in the two games that he's been so far. The problem is that is relying on some pretty hyper efficient, you know, reception percentage. He has only 14 targets on the year, so averaging about 7 targets. That's lower than both Stribling or Mumfield. And he gets Arkansas State this week. Stribling is, in a vacuum, I would say the guy I would probably go with, given the upside that outside Oklahoma State wide receiver one has. Again, we really saw it this past week against Tulsa. 8 targets, 7 receptions, 174 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Problem is, he's still competing with Rashad Owens for that outside position. I have a feeling those two will kind of go back and forth throughout the year, even though I do like Stribling as the main outside guy. And then Mumfield, right? He is the consistent guy for Pittsburgh the last couple of weeks, has 8-plus targets in each of his 3 games. He broke the 100 mark against Cincinnati, 2 touchdowns in that game. Last week, even though he didn't find the end zone, still got 76 yards on the day. There are real pros and cons with this, and it's a really, really good question, Webb or James, because I truly am having a hard time with this. I think the first one I will sit is Dejon Stribling, mostly, again, because of him kind of trying to compete for those scoring opportunities with Rashad Owens. As I mentioned before, I expect Utah-Oklahoma State to be a relatively kind of medium-scoring game, but very much a game where both teams are going to need to rely on their stud running backs. I think, again, the scoring opportunities will be limited, and Stribling competing with Rashad Owens just isn't a recipe that I really want to follow this week. That leaves Higgins. That leaves Mumfield. Both teams are facing lower competition this week. I think, though, I'm still going to roll with Mumfield, actually, out of these guys. Mostly the tiebreaker here coming in with the fact that Mumfield has seen those 8-plus targets every single week, and he has broken that 100-yard mark already this season versus Higgins. Well, again, I have no doubt that Iowa State will have a really nice week against Arkansas State this week. I just have the feeling that Mumfield is going to be a bit more productive, be able to rip off some bigger receptions than Higgins will this week. So call it gut feel, but between Higgins and Mumfield, like if I did week-to-week rankings, I guarantee you both of those guys would be right next to each other. So very close question, James. I personally think if you asked different experts the same question, I bet you would get 3 different answers from 3 different analysts. Same goes for MDB and his quarterback question. You guys really killed it with the questions this week. I had a legit hard time deciding. So next question comes to us from Mr. John Ludovina at J_Luda on Twitter. He has a wide receiver question here as well, between, in my opinion, 3 studs to this point in the season. He is asking us to start 2 between Xavier Restrepo out of Miami going to South Florida this week, Trebor Pena, wide receiver to Syracuse, going to Stanford this week, and then Mac Delana, wide receiver out of Fresno State, going to New Mexico. So 2 of these guys are expected to play in games where their team should win pretty handily. One is obviously Restrepo, Miami at South Florida. They're favored by 16.5. Fresno State's favored by 15 over New Mexico this week. That puts So where does that put us? How am I going to decide this question? Well, one, I don't think there's a world where you should ever sit Xavier Restrepo. Dude's been an absolute dynamite monster through this point in the season. In 2 blowouts recently, they still find ways to make sure that Restrepo will get his, right? Against Florida A&M, 104 yards and a touchdown in that game. Against Ball State, 3 catches, 47 yards. Not the greatest day in the world, but two touchdown catches will definitely help solidify that. This game is expected to be a little bit more competitive than what Miami's put up against Florida A&M and Ball State the last couple of weeks, so I fully expect that we will be seeing a stat line much closer to what he did against Florida, you know, 7 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown in that game right there. So Restrepo, easy start for me out of these three. That leaves Peña and Delaina. Delaina's been on absolute fire last couple of weeks, again, against Sacramento State here, 7 catches, 235 yards, and a touchdown. Last week against Mexico State, 82 yards, 2 touchdowns in that game. Here's my problem. Delaina, in that game, in that blowout over New Mexico State last week, only got 3 targets, only got 2 receptions, just happened to be 2 really good catches for touchdowns, right? He had a 69-yard touchdown in this game, and then he caught another 13-yard touchdown in this game as well. That's all fine and dandy, but if we get a similar result against New Mexico this week, which I think New Mexico's a pretty solid offense, so I think we're not going to see, you know, a complete shutout here like we saw last week. But regardless, like, Fresno State's expected to win this game decently handily. I think Delaina could be in for a regression there where, you know, maybe he sees 4 or 5 targets, but he's just not getting the touchdown opportunities like he did the week before. Versus Peña. Peña, I also think, is a little bit in line for some touchdown regression. He's got 5 through 2 games in the regular season, so woof, good lord. But it is very clear that Kyle McCord will be looking for Trevor Peña each week. He's had 7 targets in both of his games so far. He's had himself some pretty solid production. And of these three guys, he is in easily the most competitive game here against Stanford. Over under at 57.5, Syracuse only favored by 9. I think that that game has a solid chance of becoming a potential track meet between those two teams versus Fresno State and Miami facing their respective competitions. I think you're worried a little bit more about potential blowout and potential leaving early of some of these guys. So I think Restrepo and Peña are my plays here. Magdalena is sitting, but also, dude, are you sure there's not a way that you can get all three of these guys in your lineup? Because I think, regardless of how I feel about the potential repeat of last week in terms of the target numbers for Delaina, it's hard to sit him. Like, he's been phenomenal last couple of weeks. So I would double check your roster, John, just to make sure that there's nobody in there that you can't replace Delaina with. So we'll put my tokens back, and let's go ahead and move on to our final question of the day. Again, appreciate you guys. These questions have been great here. Last question comes to us from, where'd my button go? There we go. Last question comes to us from Tim I'm not even going to try to pronounce that anymore. This one comes to us from Tim at Dvorak Tim on Twitter. He's asking us to start one between Elik Iwanor, wide receiver out of Stanford, going up against Syracuse this week, or Cam Cook going up against SMU this week, or Denzel Boston, wide receiver out of Washington, going up against Northwestern this week. I've already talked about the fact that I'm not a huge fan of that Washington-Northwestern matchup this week, and given the fact that, you know, we're looking at SMU facing, or TCU facing SMU, and then Stanford going up against Syracuse, I like those matchups much better. I think that just automatically puts Boston in the sit category for me among these options. So who does that leave me with between Cook and Iwanor? Iwanor has had an interesting start to the season here, right? 12 targets, 7 receptions, 102 yards against TCU to start the season. That was obviously a great start, but then followed that up against Cal Poly with only 4 targets, 3 receptions, 45 yards, and called it a day. Because Stanford was on bye last week, we have not really gotten to see any more of Iwanor, and we're all kind of left wondering, what's his actual role this year, especially with what looks like other wide receivers stepping up for Stanford? Part of what made Iwanor so great last year was that he was at times the Cardinals' only option. And so if you play him this week, it's a bit of a roll of the dice. Cook as well kind of had some weird stuff. Started off the season great, 20 carries, 81 yards, and a touchdown versus Stanford in week one, 14.9 points. Great, solid, love it. Against Long Island, only 13 carries, but for 58 yards, you know, volume down a little bit, but it's against the FCS opponent. You don't want them to wear the tread out there. But you got three touchdowns in that game. That sure helped a lot. Then last week against UCF, this was weird. This was weird to me because he only had 11 carries in this game, only had 35 yards. So clearly he was just struggling in general against this Golden Knight offense or this Golden Knight defense. But you would think that with TCU getting out to as big of a lead as they did in this game, they were up 21-7 at halftime. And then at one point they got as high as 31-13. You would think that that would be the green light for them to just run the ball and to take the air out of the ball and just get out of there with a win. Obviously, they didn't get out of there with a win. I think part of that was because Cook had himself a really rough day here, and they didn't really give him a ton of opportunity. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on with Cook here. I don't know if he got hurt. There's definitely no true message on that right about now. And because of that, I got to take a closer look here at Io Manor. Io Manor, again, going up against Syracuse this week, is another what is expected to be a pretty competitive game with another Power 4 opponent. I am going to roll the dice in a half PPR format on the wide receiver, figure out what the heck's going on with Cook, why he's losing volume last week. Hopefully it's nothing serious. And bet on Io Manor to have a very similar week to what he had against TCU to start the season. You know, those 12 targets, over 100 yards. And hopefully, this time, finds the end zone. So, of these three options, Tim, I would go with Io Manor. Even though I stated on the recent DTN episode that I was not a big fan of Stanford currently, I think that I'm willing to ride with Io Manor just one more time among these three options. So, with that being said, we have come to the end of our show. Again, appreciate all of you guys for listening. If you have not already, leave a like, comment, and subscribe. If you're on the YouTube side of things, if you're on the podcast side of things, make sure you follow the show, leave a 5-star review wherever you can. Make sure you guys check out the rest of the Campus of Canton Podcast Network for shows ranging on pretty much anything you can think of related to the college fantasy game. In addition, I forgot to mention this at the top of the show, Defending the Natty is back. For those of you who don't know what that is, for those of you who might be joining us just for the season here, that is our monthly CFF Dynasty podcast that I host with Nate Marquise. We get together once a month and we discuss college fantasy dynasty stuff. This month, we take a look at how some freshmen are doing up until this point in the season, and we kind of put them into different tiers as to how we view them going into the future. It is a ton of fun. Go check that out. It is exclusively on podcast form on the Chasing the Natty podcast feed. You won't find it on YouTube. You won't find it on the Campus of Canton podcast feed. It is exclusively, like I said, on the Chasing the Natty podcast feed, so go find it there. Like I said, go check out the rest of the Campus Again Podcast Network. We'll see you guys back here next Monday after week four for another round of waiver wire pickups for you guys. Until then, I really appreciate you guys, and I hope you have a wonderful and blessed week. See y'all.